And you'll see from the teaching this morning, I would like to teach like I'm talking now. You will see from the teaching this morning what God is aiming to do in our lives. Matter of fact, in prayer meeting, we got a word from the Lord. How many of y'all who were not in prayer meeting want that word? All right. The Lord said, the word of the Lord came, say, you're stamped with guaranteed victory. While we were praying this morning, I was teaching a little bit on the doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. So what happened then? What happened? The church, from a pastoral point of view, has tried to be a New Testament church, and it can't. The pastor and the teacher and evangelist and even the prophet have to feed from that apostolic anointing. And so God had Barbara looking it up, her and Carol looking it up the other day. God called me to be an apostle. You know, Carolyn sometimes catch things I don't catch, and says, what he said to me is, I have called you to be an apostle. That means I didn't hear him the first time. He didn't say, I'm calling you to be an apostle. He said, I have. And my wife, wittily in the spirit, caught that. You see? So I don't know how many years that we've had some apostolic feeding. But not to its fullness, because I hadn't accepted the call. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
And so there'll be some changes to some degree, but the changes are not changing from God. It's changing to God.
Right.
It's getting back where wherever you go, there'll be an explosion of anointing. When you go to the supermarket, you go wherever you go. The power wasn't only in Peter's shadow. I can't hear you. The power, the same power that was in Peter's shadow is designed to be in your shadow. And so the day will come when you pass by in the supermarket, the person get healed, and you pass by a person in a wheelchair, and the person get up and start walking right side of you and look at you. What happened? And those type of things happen all the time. And this is where God bringing us. So I'm going to teach this morning to bring this fruition into our lives. Y'all ready for this? You know what I'm thinking about now, right? Some of y'all been around me long enough. Get your Bibles out. With no disrespect to the choir, nor the band. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 for a moment. I receive some. Acts chapter 2 for a moment. Give them a chance to get back to their seats. Y'all get ready to sing something after I finish. Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 5. These texts came in. I got some major texts I'm going to give you this morning. But these texts came in. And I want you to write this note down to yourself. Taking a hold, H-O-L-D, of your divine destiny through apostolic alignment. Taking a hold of your divine destiny through apostolic alignment. Now, when you think about that, when you talk about apostolic alignment, you're talking about God's divine abilities and possibilities manifesting and demonstrating in the earth's realm,
yes, sir,
on my behalf through a divine sonship and partnership.
Yes, sir.
Right. See, when I give you that definition, that's an apostolic definition of the supernatural. It's not a book definition.
Right. Yes,
see, it came through the Spirit. You want me to give it to you again?
Because yes,
I want you to get this. God's divine abilities. So in other words, now you'll be able to function more properly in God's divine abilities and God's divine possibilities. All right? Divine abilities, divine possibilities, manifesting and demonstrating, notice where, in the earth's realm, God says, on my behalf, through a divine sonship and partnership. In other words, manifesting, demonstrating, supernaturally, things happening through divine ability. That's what apostolic is all about. And so the charismatic and the word of faith and the full gospel and denominations came in with doctrine, but it was diluted because you got to keep on the apostolic doctrine and teaching and anointing is fresh. Not over. It's fresh things happening, you see. Fresh. So here in Acts 2:42, it reads, Acts 2:42. You ready? Let's read this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So that's four, five things they did there, you notice, in that one verse. Doctrine is teaching.
Right. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, the apostolic teaching is based, the Holy Ghost said to me, is a lot of other things, but on Philippians 3:10. Mm-hmm. Turn now, Philippians 3:10. That I might know him.
Yes, sir.
Not only him. Mm-hmm. And the power of his resurrection.
Glory to God. Yes, sir.
And to know that if a little suffering come, I can handle it.
Right.
See, the fellowship of his suffering, that based on, I'll do it, Lord. That based on, you saw Philippians 3:10?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Now, listen, the Holy Ghost called, said, that based on Hebrews 12:2.
Uh-huh.
Look at Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus,
yes,
the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set, went through the suffering.
Right.
But he always, remember, you always, no matter what you're going through, turn to Hebrew. Put it on the board. Hebrew 12:2. Put it on the board. Put it on. Hebrew 12:2. Light the board up. Hebrew 12:2. Because you got to see this from the King James Version. Hebrew 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, know what we say?
Yes, sir.
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross.
Right.
See, you can endure things if you know the joy. Despising the shame, and he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So you see, go back to Philippians 3:10. I want you to see this before I go any further. Philippians 3:10. Now see, this is apostolic. This apostle wrote this. The apostle said that I might know him. See, some people just know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. The fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death. In other words, when I go through something, I know I'm coming out. That's what the apostolic, that's what the apostle doctrine teaches. Don't teach it just, you know, good little teaching that you jump around and hop No, it don't tell you you're not going to have some opposition in your life, but it's going to tell you you're going to know how to win. What I say? Now look at Acts 5:12. Acts 5:12. This is the result of apostles' doctrine, apostle fellowship, apostle breaking bread, and even judgment came in that fifth chapter to deal with people who are not real. They're sneaking money. They're not going to get real. They wasn't real. They wasn't going to get real. So they get rid of them. Now, in Acts 5:12, it talks about power now, about the hands of the apostle. Now, why could the hand of the apostle work? Because of the doctrine of the apostle. See, I go to moving my hands in here, and you don't have no understanding. You're not going to even know what's happening. And so there's apostolic power and apostolic miracles that is available to the New Testament church in who we are. All right? Now you got to stick with me close now because I'm about to show you some things that's going to revolutionize your life. See, taking hold of your divine destiny through apostolic alignment. Now, the subject, you listening?
Yes,
is accessing the supernatural by operating in the unusual. Accessing the supernatural by operating in the unusual. Now, access, let's get on the same page. Access here means is the right or opportunity to use or benefit from something. The right or opportunity to use or benefit from something. This accessing we're talking about. Or it also means the right to approach or see someone. The right to approach or see someone. You have access to God. You have the right to approach him and see him. Are you following me? All right, now another one, more definite of access. Obtain, examine, or retrieve supernatural data or file. So what are we talking about? Experiencing apostolic access, acceleration, and abundance. Talk to me here now. See, because when that doctrine goes to flowing through you, that teaching and understanding of who you really are from that level, you're talking about experiencing apostolic access, acceleration, and abundance. Talk back to me. Access. You know what acceleration means, right? Yeah, some of y'all, the way y'all drive, y'all know what acceleration means. Now, know this. The reason the church have not seen the supernatural as she should, and the reason believers have not functioned in the supernatural as they should, is because of lack of apostolic doctrine. A lack of understanding the power of the resurrection and the power of the cross. We must come back to this. This is what those boys preach. Jesus Christ and him crucified, and he rose from the dead to the dead. That power come in, preaching of the resurrection. So, It take apostolic doctrine to release the supernatural.
Yes, sir.
You got that? All right. Stick with me. I have to kind of stick with my notes here because it's before I go into the main scriptures, let me give you a few sealants. Before I go, because once we get there, we're gonna have to flow, and I got three scriptures I'm gonna drop on you in a minute. So let me give you a few sealing. Matter of fact, I'm gonna let them put it on the board for you, so you can copy it down and take your picture and all that stuff. Unusual living has always been available to the children of God. Get that down now. Unusual living has always been available to the children of God. And that's where we're headed here. When we get this set right in our understanding, you'll begin to walk into unusual living. I'm going to give you two or three seals, then I'm going to go in the scripture that we're going to work with this morning. Miraculous insight and invite. Insight and invite has always been given to sons and daughters of God. Miraculous insight and invite. You got an invitation all the time. Has always been given to the sons and daughters of God. But you can't receive them if your doctrine is not clear. See, you follow what I'm saying? So, doctrine don't just consist of scriptures. Doctrine consists of scriptures, but the power that is in the scriptures. Remember we said the Holy Ghost and power. Some people just got the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost and power makes a difference. Okay? Now, so miraculous insight, invite, has always been given to the sons and daughters of God. Now, what for? Listen, please. To live the higher life and give glory to his name. To live the higher life and to give glory to his name. All right. To win souls in the kingdom of God day and night.
Yes, sir.
Until all men in your territory recognize the God of glory. See, that's what we're called to do.
Right. Yes, sir.
See, we got operating power to do that, though. And recognize the God of glory and come in grip with the cross and blood. And step into the grace that has been provided for them. Amen? So that's a couple seals I gave you there. It's a couple seals. Now, I want to get in some scriptures here that is very important. I don't know if I got them on the first sheet. I need to get into them. There are only three scriptures. That's a $500 check. There's only three scriptures that talk about access in the Bible. We're going to all three of them this morning. All three of them give us a specific insight on accessing. You know, access like you go to a door. Accessing what is rightfully ours in power. Now, let's start with Romans 5:2. Romans 5:2. All of our access is through Jesus.
You're right. Yes, sir.
What I say?
All of our access is through Jesus.
Yeah, when you're dealing with spiritual things, when you're dealing with the supernatural, when you're dealing with manifestation and demonstration that comes from God, all of it comes through the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I'm going in. In the name of Jesus, that door's going to be open for me. You see what I'm saying? There's power there, but you have to know that.
Yes,
that's one of the apostles' man doctrine, the name of Jesus. Why in the book of Acts, third chapter, that lame man was healed because the apostles' doctrine have the name of Jesus at top level.
Yes, sir.
And see, we have modified the gospel so much that the name of Jesus is not called enough. We have so many scriptures we have, but we try to use the scripture, we need to call a name to validate the scripture. See, when you call a name, you're validating the cross, his birth, his supernatural life, the cross, the resurrection, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, him seated at the right hand, looking over things as you carry it out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Here we, I mean, it's outstanding here, what the Lord is showing us this morning. Here in Romans 5, now you're going to have to pay attention. Romans 5, verse 1. Actually, the text verse 2, but I'm going to read verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice verse 2. Notice the first two words. What the first two words is? Who is that?
Jesus.
Y'all, everybody with me?
Yes, sir.
By whom?
By Jesus.
By Jesus, right?
Right. All right,
say now, by whom, because it's very important, the next two verses, by whom is very important here.
Right.
By whom, because I'm going to show you something else, all right?
Yes,
all right. By Jesus, also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So access is by him. By whom mean by him? Okay. Because we're talking about access. All right. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we've been plugged so long in the less. I have to take my time to get you to see where God am and to take us. You know. People don't like change. But I like I said, I've been here before. And I know better than the lag for people. Because people are flaking. You see what I'm saying? So I'm going to stick with what God tell me to do. Who we have here? It's so much wonderful to obey God. In Ephesians 2:18 now, you're going to find the word access again. For through him we both have access by one spirit unto who? All right, now, the first voice told us we had access to grace, to stand in. Now, this voice talking about having access to the Father. Are you with me? How many of y'all with me? Wave your hand at me. Access. So, I have access to the Father through Jesus. He said, now, this access, the first access is by him. This access is through him. Access, I have access to the Father through Jesus. Matter of fact, I have access to all that the Father has through Jesus. Matter of fact, I have access to all what the Father can do through Jesus. So the scripture says here, for through him, read that with me, for through him, who? Him who?
Jesus.
We both have access by one spirit. So you know we're talking about access, right? All right. Ephesians 3 now. Now the whole chapter of Ephesians 3 is dealing with the mystery and the revelation of the dispensation of grace. Now there's another thing we've gone through that we can't get the doctrine. They have messed grace up so much. They have displaced grace to teach one thing when grace was teaching another thing, that grace actually teaching us to depend on Jesus at all times. See, he was full of grace and truth. So you got grace teaching, you got charismatic teaching, you got the full gospel teaching, you got the word of faith teaching, which are good teaching. But there are more. There's more. So the church is functioning normal when she should not be. Every believer should have an apostolic edge on their life. But you can't get there if you don't understand the doctrine and you don't understand these three axes I'm talking to you about. We have access to the Father. You see that? All right. Now, notice this. Notice this. Ephesians 3:12. In whom we have boldness. And access. With confidence by the faith of him. See, it's all by faith. But now we're looking at access in him, is in him. Access is by him. Access is through him. Access is in him. So we're actually accessing him. You got that? Three powerful scriptures there. Now, the last one, Ephesians 3:12, write in your note that I have access to the revelation of the mystery of grace. Right. Secondly, I have access to the unsearchable riches of Christ. Right. Thirdly, what the first one I said? Access to the revelation of the mystery of Christ. The second one, I have access to the unsearchable riches of Christ. Thirdly, I have access to the manifold wisdom of God.
Yes, sir.
Fourthly, in Christ, I have access to his eternal purpose. Now, we know what the scripture says in Romans 8:28, right?
Yes, sir.
All things work together for good for them that love God who are called according to his purpose. All right. So that's four things I give you just now. The unsearchable riches, the manifold wisdom, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Now I want to take you further now. I might give you some seals on the end, but that I just want to see you with those at the beginning. Now, it may sound like I got four subjects this morning, but I'm just trying to take you somewhere, all right? All right, now, I want you to write down supernatural forces that are on the inside of you. Supernatural forces that I have on the inside of me that can propel me into the supernatural. See, we got to use these forces. We got to understand these forces, inner forces that is in us to access and activate the supernatural. And we're in partnership with God. God is not planning on doing it by himself. You understand? God is looking forward for you to cooperate with him from the inner gifts he has given you, coming that when you partook of that divine nature, there are some inner forces that came on the inside of you that has to be trained. Inner forces within you that can control everything that happened without you on the outside. Inside running the outside, not the outside running the inside. So circumstances ain't got no business running you. Problem ain't got no business running you. Situation don't have no business running you. You're running from the wrong end. So I'm going to show you how to activate these inner forces. And when I call some of them, they will be, matter of fact, in the name of Jesus, these inner forces will be awakened in you. I say in the name of Jesus, all of these inner forces will be awakened in you, and you will live a life of guaranteed victory. Ask somebody next to you, did you hear that?
Yeah.
I have things in me that can activate miracles. See, we're waiting on the signs and the wonders. No, we got to activate these things. Forces, you listening?
Yes, sir.
That access the supernatural with ease. Then I wrote a question to us. Why? Why these forces can activate or access the supernatural with ease? Because they are supernatural within. They have power to control everything that happened without the forces that are within. So I'm going to give you 13 things. I want you to write this first. Awakening the power of the supernatural in me. Awakening the power of the supernatural in me. Number one, righteousness. I'll come back to it. Number two, another force in you is faith. Number three, love. Number four, there's a supernatural strength in you. Number five, wisdom, which calls judgment. Wisdom makes you judge things right. Number six, power. Number seven, imagination. That's a powerful thing there. We'll get to them one by one. Number eight, understanding. All these are supernatural inner forces in you to activate and access the supernatural. Number nine, will, W-I-L-L. Number 10, order. Number 11, zeal. That's a special enthusiasm on the inside of you. Number 12, listen to this one. Renunciation, elimination, and dismantling. You have the right to renounce things, to eliminate things, and dismantle. That's a dismantling power on the inside of you. Are you listening? And then number 13 is life. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1 now. Let's work with righteousness a few moments. That's about the further I might get today. Righteousness. Righteousness is an inner force. It's an inner spiritual force on the inside of you, free of sin. Full of the power of God. Full of the power of Jesus. Full of the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. I am the righteousness of God. Not on my own ability, but because of what Jesus did for me. We'll see in one of the scriptures, he became sin that we might become righteous. A lot of times people don't come to church because they don't think they're good enough because they made mistakes. No, come on to church. You're the righteous. You have accepted Christ. We just got to work this thing. Until a reality hits your soul. To come in full agreement with your spirit. Oh, hallelujah. I say, oh, hallelujah. So righteousness is a supernatural force on the inside of you. You hear what it gives you the ability to do? You listening? The supernatural force of operating in righteous judgment. To be right. Right standing. Lawful. Correct. Innocent and guilty. Guiltless. Because of what Jesus did. Matter of fact, I better read this one first. No, go to 2 Corinthians. Well, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Y'all knew that, right?
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians 5:17. Now look at the 21st verse.
Right. Well, yes, sir.
2 Corinthians 5:21. For God has made Jesus to be sin for us, Jesus who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Righteousness means that sin has no ability to stand up to you. Righteousness means that Satan has no ability to stand up to you. Righteousness means this system, all the political arenas, all the natural government has no right to stand up before you and deny you from doing what God said he has already done for you. Say it again. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If any old sin come up, just tell it, get the hell on out the way. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the righteousness. What it mean? I have divine rights to everything this book says. I'm fully persuaded what he has promised, he's also able to perform. And then I hear him say in Jeremiah 1:12, I watch over my word to perform it. So I'm righteous because he made me righteous. You can't take that from me. You can't point at me and tell me you ain't righteous. How you can't do that. I've slipped down on a banana peeling, all right? And then you point at me and tell me you're not righteous. I said, no, you can't do that. You don't have that power. You can't dismantle the cross. See, these religious people have got to turn to judge people. Person make a mistake, they go to dust themselves off and want to talk about, you're not right with God. You're not right either without Jesus. All right, now. Go to the Hebrews 1:8. There's a scepter of righteousness. And you need to know about it. I mean, I get in a tight spot and things don't leg away, I wave my hand like I'm waving that scepter. Y'all ain't paying me no mind? Jesus. I know I got it. You see what I'm saying? When you know you got it, you just know you got it. There in Hebrews 1:8, I promise children, it's going to get hotter in here, in the spirit. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Wait a minute. I see it, Holy Ghost. Forever and ever. Your victory. When you understand your victory, no matter what you're going through, you must know your victory is forever and ever. You must know, oh my God, you must know you have eternal victory the rest of your life. No matter what come up, who come up, what show up, I have eternal victory the rest of my life. Why? Because of Jesus. Forever and ever. So I will never run out of victory. So that means that anything comes up, I have victory waiting on it. You know what that means? Boy, this is something here. Holy Spirit, talk to me, Holy Spirit. You know what this means? Boy, yeah. You can never lose. It just looked like a loss. But when you're in your right mind, whatever it was going to come to a gain. That's powerful. Is telling you this morning that you're in a losing position. It's lying. Victory is mine. Say it. It's lying. It's lying. Say it. It's lying. Victory is mine. In Christ Jesus. You better hear this. Trace from the Holy Ghost. Every attack in your life is attracting victory. When you stand in the inner force of righteousness, which is a gift from God to me, not because I'm so good, because Jesus is good, and Jesus give me his goodness. And this scepter of righteousness, look at it right quickly. Scepter, 1 and 8, I think it is. 1 and 8. 1 and 8. 1 and 8. But unto the Son he said, now, oh my. Yeah, now you have some apostolic doctrine, all
right?
Now you see, because we got it's how sweet it is. So now, but what he said, but unto the Son he said, he talking to me. The Son has given me his sonship. Whatever God says to Jesus in the scripture, he's talking to me. But see, righteousness puts you in a position that you're not sin conscious. Sin consciousness is Satan's deception to take you from your righteousness. You don't lose your righteousness because you sin. If that's the problem, all of us need to line up and get saved again. But your righteousness will bring you to a point that you don't practice sin. Because you have too much power for sin to control you. But that righteousness in you, listen to me, has to be trained. How is that? Your spirit is pure righteousness, but your soul has something to do with it, and your soul has to be trained righteous acts. Are you following me? Then your body will follow suit. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of the kingdom. What? I receive. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of the kingdom. No, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter, it's the same thing, of the kingdom. So, you in your kingly position, raw priesthood, Oh my. When you are operating in faith, your words turns into the scepter of righteousness. That is, when you know who you are. Say it, I know who I am. So your words today turn into a scepter of kingdom righteousness. Other words, listen to me. Put that scripture back up there. Other words, from this day forward, Kathy, when you speak, heaven say the kingdom have spoken. There's no power that can overrule kingdom power. There's no, watch this now. There's no power can overrule kingdom speaking. In other words, as a believer, you should speak like a king. Divine decree. You're giving orders. You're not asking no favor. You must come to understand righteousness makes you a ruler over situation and circumstances, things, opposition. When it says you have been made the righteousness of God, it's saying you've been made a ruler. You're a regulator. So now your words are as a king is speaking. When you speak from your righteousness, your words become a kingdom scepter. If you know anything about kingship, if you study a little bit, when the king speaks, everybody moves. God have designed for you to live a kingly life. When you write what he said, why do you think Jesus said that? Look at Matthew 6:33. Why do you think he said that? Seek you first the kingdom of God. Look what he said. And all these things. What is Romans 14:17? Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, yes, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What is 1 Corinthians 4:20? 1 Corinthians 4:20. Turn now. See, what he's saying is, for the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. How can you prove that? 1 Thessalonians 1:5, I believe it is. Look at 1 Thessalonians. For our gospel came to you not in word only, but also in what? What else? What else? As you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake. That's an apostle talking. What manner of men were we among you for your sake? Why did God put you in this church? You cannot just be charismatic. You cannot just be word of faith. You cannot just be full gospel. You cannot just be a denomination. You got to act out the works of the apostolic anointing. You have to be apostolic. You have to be working with full power. When the enemy rises his ugly head against you, you tell him, I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I bind you. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus and by the power of Jesus' blood. Come on, son. Let's see. It's another $500 check. Turn to Psalm chapter 7. Hallelujah. Don't lose your place in visitation. Now, the Lord visited us. Don't lose your place. You're going to need it in a few moments. Need your place. You need your place. I need my place. Yeah. Now, righteousness is a supernatural force that is the nature of God and is the container of all that God is. Wow. We're talking about inner force now. We're talking about inner forces. I gave you 13. I'm only on one. Righteousness. You got to understand righteousness. Tell the neighbor next to you, you have to understand righteousness. Don't set up your act like you understand it. Listen closely. Righteousness means that I have the very nature and ability and strength and power and life and wisdom and zeal and understanding and imagination of God on the inside of me. I'm somebody to contend with. When you mess with me, you're not messing with a nobody. I'm somebody because Christ lives inside of me. And wherever Christ is, the Holy Ghost is. And wherever the Holy Ghost is, the kingdom is. In Psalm 7 and 11, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. But notice he judges the righteous. What'd he do? What'd he do? He tell them, look, you're wrong. Get back straight.
Right.
Repent. Right. Put that word repent aside righteousness. See, repent keep you repenting. Keep you functioning in your righteousness. Don't get disturbed if you mess up. You done messed up. Now get back. So, Lord, I repent. I sure didn't want to do that. Have mercy on me, Lord. Forgive me. And you step right back into your righteousness. Don't ignore the Holy Ghost. Woo. Don't ignore the Holy Ghost. He's right. The Holy Ghost right and you wrong. Don't come in on discussion with the Holy Ghost what you meant to do. When the Holy Ghost bring in that you need to repent, there's no argument. Just throw your hand there and say, yeah, I'm wrong. See, but sometimes people get scripture and argue with the Holy Ghost and tell the Holy Ghost, I really didn't mean that. No, you're guilty. I cry to the Lord in Psalm 139 every day. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thought. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. John 1:9 says, if thou confess thy sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. How many times? Every time you need it, baby. See, the enemy wants you sin conscious. Mistake conscious. I missed it conscious. God wants you righteousness conscious because of what Jesus did for you. That's why he gave you a means to escape when you mess up. All the fruit of the Spirit is the spirit of righteousness. Yes, this is one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 32. You got your shouting clothes on? This is so powerful. This is so powerful. Call up somebody and tell them you're about to hit gold. This is so powerful. Man, this is so powerful. See, we're talking about apostolic doctrine, apostolic wisdom, apostolic power, the original plan of God. See, God's government has to be in place, and you can't displace or replace God's government. You have to take it like God said it. See. And so the apostolic power must be available for us to operate at full potential. That's why you got so many religion. Religion is people moving without a revelation. Religion is people living without a reality of the true and living God. It's a form and faction. It's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This church is going into a deeper expectation, deeper revelation, deeper manifestation, deeper demonstration of the love and the goodness of God. I got anybody here with me? See, you're gonna have to have some shifting. And so when there's shifting, there's a lifting. But in the shifting, some changes has to be made. We've been in non-apostolic churches for centuries. I mean, this verse, my God, this verse here is so powerful. Write this down. The effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. Isaiah 32, beginning at verse 16, tell us the effect of righteousness. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness, what? I can't hear y'all. Remain in the fruitful field. Now watch this next verse. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance, how long?
Forever.
Forever. So where you are now got to be included in forever. So why are you disturbed? Listen to me. Righteousness got you. Doesn't matter what it looked like. Righteousness, the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwelling and in quiet. Look at y'all. Look at them. Look at you. Y'all don't even hear what I'm saying. Jesus Christ. Y'all, yeah, come on, children. You know what I'm saying? Be your son, and we're going to live in the favor of Christmas every day. I'm going to be talking about Christmas favor. Everybody going to live a highly favored life. And New Year's, you got to be a New Year's Sunday. We're going to have church on Sunday that morning. Huh? Already got the word for 2017. Massive production. Everybody going to be in massive production. So I'm going to preach on massive production on New Year's Day. Business people, business, your business in this church, it's going to come off the hook. Massive. Massive. You got to hire other people to keep up with it. Righteousness is the spirit that have been poured on us and placed in us. Righteousness within and righteousness upon. Just like I said, the spirit within, the spirit. Righteousness within and righteousness is upon. The kingdom of righteousness is the most powerful path that anyone can take. Hebrew 1:8, we looked at that. Matthew 6:33, we quoted that. Psalm 23:3, turn now. For he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Don't let my name go down. Don't tell me what my name can't do. I don't believe that. Don't tell me you can't get out of that mess. Don't tell me this thing got you bogged down that you can't get. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me you're going to die ahead of time. No, you're not. Don't tell me you're going to lose your children. You're going to lose your... No, you're not. Somewhere down the line, I'm going to cut that thing. He leadeth me. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Then you're ready to walk then. Yeah, do I walk? Don't make no difference then. I'm in the path of righteousness. I know how to walk in the path of righteousness. In the name. In what he did, not what I did. I'm righteous because of Jesus. Say it, say it. Don't tell me nothing else. I don't want to hear it. Glory, come on, glory. Glory, glory, glory. You got your shouting clothes on? Look like the Holy Ghost is waking up to this. My time just about look like the Holy Ghost helping to wake up to this. When and in the vision. Turn to Psalm 5. When and in the vision. Understand apostolic doctrine. The power of the resurrection. To know that they have miracles, signs, and wonders on the inside of them to share with the world. These inner forces supposed to run everything. What happened without must come from within. What I say? And what happened without that you're not pleased with, go within, get your power and come back out. Who with me? Wave your hand at him. Who with me here? See? See, now this is far more than charismatic. Yeah, right. See, charismatic is good teaching, yes, but you're just jumping around a lot. Right. Full gospel, you're speaking in tongues. Right. See, and you think you done won the whole world. There's more to it than that. Yes. See, all of that came out of the apostles' doctrine. Right. Yes, sir. Now let me close here. You know, in this business, there are times. Let me share something with you because you need to know it because some of y'all go through it. And you may not ever think I go through it. In this business, sometimes there are moments, there are days that God lets you go in discouragement. See, y'all been there and you think it's not right. But he lets you go in discouragement because your discouragement increases your dependency. And so... ain't got nothing to do with not having no faith. You got faith. But there are times God just lets you feel it. And as a pastor, you know, I've been through this before when God pushed me into a new area and I see people can't take it and they're kind of backing off. And just yesterday, I come into a point of discouragement, so I had to stand up and encourage myself. I stood up and encouraged myself. I said, it's all right. God working on something. So, let me help you this morning. Let me help you. If you're in any form of discouragement, if anything is discouraging, encourage yourself. Say the opposite. But every now and then, discouragement is going to come on the scene to check you out, see what you're going to do. That's when you got to say, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by what I believe. And I believe that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, as he said. He's alive.
He's alive.
In me.
In me.
Around me.
Around
for me.
For me.
How can I lose?
How can I lose?
So you thought you was the only one becoming discouraged sometimes. Everybody walk through. Now you real spiritual people tell you, I don't never have no discouragement. I got Jesus. No, you're lying. You're lying. Sometimes you got to pull your bootstraps up and talk to yourself. I'm not going down like this. You can say, I'm not taking this. I'm not going down. I'm strapping up now. Sometimes discouragement, okay, who you are? Those discouraging moments come. Talk to me, yeah. Talk to me. Talk to me. You ain't no superfly. Talk to me. That's okay. Encourage yourself. Don't call nobody to pray for you. Get up and start quoting scripture. Wave your hand in there. Dance in the closet. Some of y'all came here this morning discouraged. Things riding your back. You say, Lord, I'm going to church, but Lord, have mercy. What? That's why he sent you here. Now you want me to tell you the rest of it? All discouragement is prelude to promotion. So if you discourage, that means if you're handling right, you're about to be. Lift your hand and praise God for that. That means everybody in here can be promoted. Whether you're up or down, this morning, you in for a promotion. Hallelujah. 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 And that's only one. That's one antifold. We're not really doing it. But it's still got some more on it, on righteousness. Let's look at this one so we can close out with it. So I want you to carry this with you. Psalm 512. Psalm. The righteous is blessed with favor. Say, I'm blessed with favor. Not so much just blessed with it. But if you read the scripture, for thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, will thou compass him as with a shield. Not only am I blessed with favor, but I'm surrounded by favor. Everywhere I go, favor is looking for me. I could be in the enemy camp, and favor will find me. Everybody can turn their back on me, but favor will find me. I'm surrounded. My car, my house, my business, my body, my mind, my soul, my spirit is surrounded. Favor all around my house. Favor all around my business. You business folks, talk up here.
I have favor
everywhere I go.
Everywhere I go.
Matter of fact, y'all come up. Sing that life of favor. Sing that song where they say that life of favor. Up. I'm going to live a life of favor. Say it. Tell five other people. Live a life of favor. His favor is upon me. I'm walking in a river of favor. I'm going to live a life of favor every day of my life. Every day. Every day. I don't care what show up. I don't care who show up. I'm declaring favor over my life today.
Hallelujah.
My day of favor has come. Say it. My day of favor has come, never to leave me. Oh. Words keep coming up in the spirit. I don't know what. Hasha, 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 hasha. Kumbreha sake moromanchi. Vrosha hu sekete le manchi. You are sharper than that. What you're letting happen in your life. You're smarter than that. For my smartness and my sharpness are in you to bring you to places of glory that you cannot be stopped. Don't let the enemy rob you with his tactics. You are sharper than him. You are smarter than him. Because I myself live in you to put you over in every situation. Give the Lord praise. I know this has been in me for years. Reading behind Smith Wigglesworth. Brother Wigglesworth ministry, a lot of time he spoke in tongues and interpreted. I held back over the years, but I'm going to let it go now. Because we're in an apostolic season. And then that what's in you sometime come out where you can't disturb it. So it come out in the spirit. But in Mr. Wigglesworth's meeting, he was speaking in tongues and interpreted. And it's a clear trail for people to follow. Mongle stonasha. Koresha katolo masisho. It is not how much money you have, it's how much manifestation you have. For money doesn't make manifestation, manifestation makes money. So you thought you was broke. You thought you was broke. You're not broke because you have manifestation. You have the ability to cause things to manifest. So you can manifest money. I know y'all can't handle it. Is the money in this system? Huh? Well, you're not broke then. Sure would be nice to have some money miracles on Christmas. But you can manifest any good thing. You understand that? You can manifest healing. You can, oh my goodness. Everybody lift a hand. You here this morning, clear on.